material of Bible school, the anointing of abundance and excess. Chorus, the glory. Lesson 2, obedience through humility. The basic verse of this message is taken from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In this lesson, we will talk about two main things. 1. Obedience to the Lord is obtained through humility of the soul. And 2, in what ways we may express humility of the soul. Let us first highlight some of the main points of the previous lesson. Remember the question, what exactly, I did not say who, am I saying? What was lost by the first man in the Garden of Eden? Let us add another question for clarity. What was laid as foundation for freedom of acts of Satan in human life, and what was the beginning of his path, not only in life, but on earth? And now the answers we received. Attention. First point. Disobedience to the Lord was the very beginning of freedom of Satan in human life, and with it, the destruction of all that was entrusted to Adam by God on earth had begun. And that was what the Holy Spirit said. Second point, disobedience to the Lord was, is, and remains the basic sin. It is the sin which is the basis of all sins, the sin from which drew strength, all the dependencies, and all possible forms of influence and control of Satan. It is because of disobedience of man to the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord was forced to leave the spirit of man. Third point, the disobedience of man to the Spirit of the Lord speaks of his obedience to the spirit of death. And on the contrary, disobedience to the spirit of death is achieved through obedience to the Spirit of the Lord. And finally, disobedience to the Lord, through it, death came to man. And upon him, in disobedience to the Lord, Satan builds everything. Attention! This was the next question the Holy Spirit asked me. If disobedience to the Spirit of the Lord began the fall of man, what is the first thing to be recoverable by each person after his repentance before the Lord, so that the Spirit of the Lord will be able to do something for which he comes into the spirit of a born again? The answer is simple. The first thing that needs to be restored in every born again is obedience to the Spirit of the Lord, because the Spirit of the Lord builds new, glorious life for man prepared by God. So we learned, first, the Lord builds his kingdom on obedience to him, while Satan builds his kingdom in obedience to him. Listen carefully to what has been mentioned by the Holy Spirit. Second, salvation is not the foundation for a glorious life. Rather, salvation is the door to a new, God-given, glorious life. It is written in John chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And again, salvation is not the foundation for a glorious life. Salvation is the door to a new, God-given, glorious life. The foundation of life is obedience to the Spirit of the Lord. And finally, the foundation for a glorious and blessed life is obedience to the Spirit of the Lord. And now, introduction. So, we begin to form the biblical idea of obedience to the Lord and ways to achieve it. Many people think that if the person is called an anointed servant of God on full-time ministry, then it is easy to be obedient to the Lord. That he, the servant, always wants to be obedient. But this is only a good opinion, which is more based on external factors. Attention! One of the paradoxes which every person living on earth is experiencing and is subjected to a curse is the virtual absence of a free and continuous desire to be obedient to the Lord Jesus and His Creator. As it is written in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, "For all, in their own mind, seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's." And many people, as they say, deep inside, in conscience, aware of the importance of obedience to the Lord Jesus and their Creator, but they do not find particularly any aspiration to do it. Some may say, "But the born again wants to be obedient." Yes, maybe in spirit, but in fact, no conscious and constant desire. For this reason, the Bible speaks about the narrow gate in Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Taking up your cross in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, and the necessary effort in Luke chapter 16, verse 16. Someone may say, "No wonder the world is cursed and people sinners." But we are talking about freedom from the power of sin as born again spirits who also do not have an easy and constant desire to be obedient to the Lord. Yes, reading the Bible, they know how important it is and what the Lord expects from them. But there is the fact that even being born again, man continues to desire the opposite. For it is written in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, "The flesh, using unupgraded soul, lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other," which means there is no agreement between them. so that ye, which is the born again spirit, cannot do the things that ye would, which are the things in mind. Again, note this. Even a born again Christian in his mind has no permanent free will to be obedient to the Lord Jesus. Pay close attention. This means that obedience to God is not simply achieved through a desire to be obedient. Now, first, obedience to the Lord is attained through humility of the soul. Working with this material and realizing the importance of obedience to the Lord, I sought to find a way to achieve obedience to the Lord and how exactly born-again Christians shall achieve obedience to the Lord and what he has to do. In the process of meditation and prayer, the Holy Spirit, the teacher, drew my attention to the word humility. I read one definition of the word humility. Definition: voluntary submission of one person to the will of another person. In my spirit, I knew that in this definition, as in others, there is no element on which the Holy Spirit wants to draw my attention. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of what I already knew, and he linked it with humility. Attention! While a born-again spirit has not renewed his mind enough and still containing the wisdom of worldly, sensual, and devilish things, he will experience the impacts of the world and the dictatorship of the will, whose wisdom is. Let us talk about this wisdom. Firstly, wisdom of the world is the order of the values of the fallen angelic beings. It was their priority, this mapping of their character, their pride and arrogance. So again, while born-again spirits have not renewed their minds enough, still containing the wisdom of the world, sensual, devilish, they will experience the impact of the world and the dictatorship of the will, of whose wisdom is. Therefore, when in the mind of a born-again Christian there are remains of this wisdom, by himself, in his mind, he will not be willing to be obedient to the Lord. This shows us that obedience to the Lord by a born again can only be achieved through deliberate humility. Then, there is a legitimate and important question. What exactly does a born-again need to be humble? And what is expressed to be in humility? In one of his messages, the Apostle Paul wrote about conflict, which angered him. And in this conflict, there is an answer. What exactly we should humble? We read some of the details of this conflict in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. In other words, I am surprised what happens with me sometimes. And I continue. For what I would, that do I not. In the spirit, knowing that this is God's will. But what I hate, by his spirit, that do I. He finds it necessary in his mind, under his mind's influence, to achieve this. It is amazing that a man through whom the Lord Jesus has done so much and wrote messages to the churches speaks about the conflict within the spirit of his soul. The fact is that his soul is very loyal and indulgent to what God's will is against, and sometimes it imposes itself. Yes, many believers think that after being born again, and after some time, maybe a year, two, five, the conflict of the spirit and the soul will cease, and especially from anointed ones of God. It is not fact. This conflict will remain until the glorious day of the Lord. And from scriptures, we have a true representation of how to form the correct attitude of the spirit to the soul during the conflict. Word from the Spirit. Humility of the soul, mind, which has the wisdom of the world, haughty and proud. This is the inevitable stress and conflict, which is reflected in its resistance. On the basis of the conflict of the spirit and the soul of Apostle Paul, we will read a few more radical verses. First verse, taken from 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. Whoever abideth in him, which is in the spirit of the Lord, sinneth not. Whoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Radical statement, but not as much as the next. We should also note, he who abides in him does not sin. Now, the second verse, taken from 1 John chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he, now be very careful, he cannot sin because he is born of God. Notice it yourself. Born again cannot sin. The third verse, taken from 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God, born again, sinneth not. Perhaps you did not know, but Apostle John says that all believers should know this. And then he says, also in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And now the key phrase of the Apostle John in his radical statements. This was from 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My children, these things I write unto you. He wrote to the born again that ye sin not. And if any man sin, now we add to his words the words of another follower of Jesus. From James chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. It looks as if there is a contradiction, but there is no any contradictions. Pay attention. While the apostles were speaking about born agains, they spoke about the spirit of man, not of the soul and body. This is true because those who are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit do not sin and do not want to sin because they are full of the Holy Spirit of God. But a mind that is not renewed enough in alliance with the needs of the body is always trying to persuade man to sin. Therefore, a born-again spirit does not sin, but living in the flesh and having a soul with the remnants of wisdom of the world can sometimes do things that are sinful. But these actions do not originate from the born-again spirit, but from the partly renewed soul. This tells us that born-again spirits must make efforts in humility of the soul or outgoing from it. And now, having an idea about spirit and soul, we will continue to read what the Apostle Paul shares in Romans chapter 7, verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, it is clear to us what he doesn't want to do in the spirit. I consent unto the law that it is good. In other words, through the articles of the law are revealed sinful deeds imposed on insufficiently renewed minds and implemented through the body. Romans chapter 7 verse 17 adds, now then, or finding out that this act is a sin, it becomes clear that it is no more I, spirit, that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, in my mind. Now attention, living in sin in the mind are remnants of worldly, sensual, and devilish wisdom, which encourages the Apostle Paul to do what is contrary to the will of God. Disobedience to the will of the Lord through wisdom of the world took place in the heart of the Apostle Paul. Then he writes in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, that is, pleasing to the Lord. For to will is present with me, but how to perform which is good, I find not in mind. This shows that the mind of Apostle Paul tried to keep its focus on what was acceptable to the wisdom of the world, the troubles, and distract the spirit of Paul from performing his apostolic mission. Let us continue reading. Romans chapter 7, from verse 19 to 20. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. This is a very important statement of the Apostle Paul. It helps to separate the spirit that does not want to sin from the heart which may relate to sin loyally. And he added in Romans 7, verse 21, I find then a law, regularity of the soul, that when I will do good by spirit, evil is present, resistance with me in soul. It is a conflict of spirit and soul, in which to burn from the Spirit of God is given more than a hint in the conflict to act. In Romans chapter 7, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, which is the Spirit. For the born-again spirit is quite natural to be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. He wants it. In Romans chapter 7, verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I repeat, this conflict of soul and spirit describes Apostle Paul, who called himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, who for the sake of obedience to the Lord gave his life. It is obvious that during his ministry, Apostle Paul had to continually humble his soul or resist pressures emanating from it, which removes him from the will of God. We pass to the next question. What exactly should we humble to be in obedience to the Lord? The answer to this question can be clearly seen in the humility that the Lord Jesus has revealed himself. Jesus, being sinless, but having a body and senses which are in contact with a cursed world, experienced through the mind on his spirit pressure. Here, it is clear from the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 12, verse 27, now is my soul troubled. The word troubled in this verse means not to agree with what will be. It did not agree with the will of God for Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. From the beginning of his mission, he knew that one of the tasks assigned to him by God at a certain time is to become a lamb for the remission of the sins of the people. While the day was unknown, the soul is not actively working on drawing images of possible physical abuse of the body. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 50, but I have a baptism, which is immersion, to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? He had to be immersed in death, as we see in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 4. But as soon as Jesus knew the exact day, the mind automatically began to present images of all possible abuses of his body he could have known, thereby persuading Jesus from what ought to be, pushing him to appeal to the goodness and mercy of God. Attention! The perturbations of which Jesus speaks of in the illustrated verse is not in the Garden of Gethsemane. We will look further into it. And then the Son of God, Jesus, the Spirit in the flesh, he speaks as if it comes from his soul. He speaks with his soul as to a man standing next to him, addressing to the soul with the question, as we see in John chapter 12, verse 27, "And what shall I say?" In other words, "So, you know what will be, and you do not agree with the will of my Father. Do you want me to ask, Father, save me from this hour?" Attention, this encourages Jesus to speak to his soul. It means that the soul of Jesus was not always in harmony with his spirit. He also felt the pressure. And then Jesus says to his troubled soul in John chapter 12, verse 27, "But for this cause came I unto this hour, and to consolidate his will to the will of the Father," Jesus adds in John chapter 12, verse 28, "Father, glorify thy name." This means that through a purposeful humility of his soul, Jesus reached obedience to God the Father. This is what is said about the humble soul of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, through Apostle Paul, wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, "He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross." From our research, we now know that the Son of God, Jesus, humbled with God's desires and those decisions that came from God's soul. His spirit was always in harmony with the spirit of the Father and his will. In such time, humility needed only the soul of Jesus. Obedience to the Lord should be the main purpose of human life and purposeful action. 2. How exactly should we express humility of the soul? Attention! We will not talk about the details and forms of humility. We note only the basic humility on which forms and details are shown. The first thing that is important to know about the basic humility is this: humility of the soul cannot be achieved without the knowledge of the Lord's will. the soul of a born again, under the influence of the wisdom of the world, always offers something to him, or somehow respond to what is happening. And when a person has no knowledge of the Lord's will, what his mind offers him might look quite good and even important, but it is no knowledge of God's will. As it is written in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him." When a person learns from Scripture God's will, then what comes out of his mind enters the light of truth and becomes apparent what kind of wisdom this is and what the consequences might be. It is written in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Attention! But sometimes it happens that even when born again, based on the will of God, knows that the soul imposed decision or action is sinful, he can stay under the influence of the soul and do what it induces. With the available light or knowledge of the will of God from the Scriptures, no one imposes it to man. God has left the choice to the born again. As he said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." It is important to note the phrase, "therefore choose," which looks increasingly clear in the light of what has been written in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verse 20. "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." The wisdom of God uses two important words, attend and incline. These words, like the phrase, "therefore choose," saying that this is not what the person had wanted to do, but must do it because God said it. God with whom man has a covenant. What does this mean? Basic humility is submission of desires of the soul to God's will. The will of God is the desire of God presented in the Scriptures or the Holy Spirit in the human spirit. The desire or decisions that comes from the mind, it may be the desire or decision of Satan, because in human mind there is the wisdom of Satan. Here is how it is presented in the Scripture. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. "From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Hearing the words of the Lord did not renew the minds of the disciples, who had different reactions to them. According to the mind, the reactions were good, and behold, this is how Jesus commented on one of the responses which represented the mind of Peter. We read Matthew chapter 16, verses 22 to 23. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Peter was not possessed by the devil, but what is in his mind and put in his mouth was formed by the order of the values of Satan. And even after such a sharp response, the mind of Peter continued to offer their ways of solving issues related to Jesus. We see in John chapter 18, verse 10 to 11, "Then Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? If coming from the mind does not obey the will of God, it will take away from the will of God." Keep reading further. Jesus reveals to us basic humility and the way it really is achieved. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, then he says, what should be done in relation to what is already there, and what will come out of the soul? Let him deny himself, or do not listen to the ideas coming from the mind, and take up his cross, do what I say to your spirit and in word, and follow me. For whoever will save his life or will continue to be guided by what comes out of its representations shall lose it, or will be disappointed." Obedience, even in life of born again, cannot be by itself, as the mind and the body seek to the opposite. Then Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, "And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, humble what is coming out of it under my will, shall find it." it will be good for him or for his benefits. Obedience to the Lord can only be achieved by born again through a deliberate submission of the soul desires of man to the Spirit of the Lord. Now, verses from Scripture about humility. Substitute the word Spirit and meditate. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. For the merchandise of what is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For thus saith the High and the Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones. Three verses from the presented speak about connection of humility and glory. In the future, we will speak more about it.